surprise, horses and chariots surrounding the city. The young man exclaimed, "O master, what shall we do?" He said, "Don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side." Then Elisha prayed, "O God, open his eyes and let him see." And the eyes of the young man were open, and he saw a wonder, the whole mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. I just was reminded of that scripture, and as we were just singing that song, and it's like, I was just thinking, we're a prophetic church. We're a prophetic body. And I was thinking, there are, outside of these four walls, there are people that feel surrounded by the enemy. There are people that feel surrounded by whatever devastation, loss, whatever it is. And we're the Elishas. And we can come into a situation and we can say, "Lord, open his eyes, open her eyes to see." To see. That even though it looks like we're surrounded and they're surrounded, really the truth is the enemy is surrounded. The enemy is surrounded. And the prophetic is desperately needed in this place. The prophetic, if it were not desperately needed, the enemy would not attack it so. And, you know, I talked last week about how it's difficult here and how it's heavy and it's this and it's that. But I believe it's because there is such a destiny, not only on this city, but on this region and on the state of Illinois, that the enemy is trying to take out the prophetic. And he's been doing it from the beginning. And I was talking with Linnea Friday night, and I want to go back to Matthew 11. I think I was in 11. Yeah. And we were talking and you know, like somewhere, somehow, someone or some group, we need to break through. And we were talking and I was reminiscing and I was like, we've had seasons of breakthrough in this area of the heaviness being lifted. And when you leave and come back, it doesn't feel, you know what I mean? Like, and like somehow, some way, it has to be broken. And here's what's ingrained in our Midwest culture. It's part of our DNA or something, but it's that, well, that's the way it's always been. So that's the way it's always going to be. And we don't even realize that that's what we think, that's what we believe, and that is how we live. It's like, I was driving down over by where Sherry and Roger live, and what's that street that runs, huh? Hillcrest. Yeah, and so then there's a street that runs this way into Hillcrest. So there's a stop sign. There's a stop sign here. There's a stop sign here. And then there's a stop sign here. Like, there's three stop signs. Now, there's no other street that I can think of in Freeport that it is that way. But it's always been that way, so I've never questioned it. Like, why are there three stop signs there? Like, usually the one stop would just be where it tees, right? And it wasn't until Nicole was with me and we were driving and she's like, "Why are there so many stop signs?" And I said, "Well, because that's just how it is." "Oh, why are there?" Like, I didn't even question it. Like, Why? Well, that's just the way it's always been. Like, it's those things that, like, that's not even necessary. All those stop signs in that spot are not even necessary, but that's not the point. The point is that the way things, it's just the way things always have been is so ingrained in our culture that we sometimes don't even question the things that we should question. We just kind of go along with it. And so in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. So this relationship, Jesus is saying, this relationship that the Father and I have, it's no one else knows it, but I'm willing to share it. And I was thinking about how when we need to know things, how when we're crying out to God and we want to know things and we want direction or we want this or we want that, and Jesus, his promise is, I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. I'm willing to share it. I'm willing to share it. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Are you tired of things being heavy? Are you tired of always being worn out? Are you tired of being tired? Right? Come to me. Don't run from me. Come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. That is his promise. If we come to him, if we get away with him, we will recover. Not maybe we will, or at some point we might, or when things get better, it will happen. When my circumstances change, when life is a little easier. No, Jesus said, he said, come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. He didn't say the circumstances around you will change. He didn't say any of that. He said, but come and get away with me and you will recover your life. Whatever is sucking your life outside of him, whatever is draining you, whatever is taking from you and not adding to you, if you get away with him, all of that will be recovered. Ha! All of that will be recovered. So that you can go into those places and you can pour and you can pour and you can pour and you can be drained, and then you go and you get away with him and you recover all that you poured out. Ha. Oh, ha. Shaba kurababashata. You recover. You recover. We recover. We recover. We recover. We recover. Ha. We recover. We do. We get away with him and we recover. Ha. Huh. Because he's good and he's full of life and he's wanting to take us. He's not keeping it to himself. He's wanting to take us through it line by line, precept by precept. He's not holding any secrets. What do you want to know about the Father? What do you want to know about the Son? What do you want to know about them? He's yearning and desiring to show us and to teach us. No secrets. I've called you friends because I don't want you to be my servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've transitioned you from servant to friend because I want to tell my friends all my secrets. You know when you have a secret you want to tell your best friend? Like, you know you're not supposed to sit. Well, I'm kind of like a vault. But like when there's something important in your life and you've experienced something and you just can't wait to tell your best friend, right? That's Jesus with us. I'll show you how to take a real rest. So even Jesus rests. If he's going to show us how to do something, he's got to know how to do it, right? You can't just talk about doing something. I mean, you got to, if he's going to show us how, then that means he already knows how, right? I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. So for all of us workers out there, you can put your mind at ease. We're not just going to be lazy, good for nothing, blah, 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 blah. You know how we judge people that don't work and how we, all of that. So that Jesus is saying, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You know, when things are unforced, it's easy. When things are unforced, that means it just happens naturally. And how great it is when things happen and it's not forced. And it's not out of obligation. It's not out of a false sense of duty. But it's an unforced. It's unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus said, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. That's his promise. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Here's his promise of how to live in the Midwest. Here it is. Here's his promise of how to live where it's heavy, where it's maybe and a little harder. And I do believe there are geographical areas that are easier to live in. We do not live in one of those. If you are at all going against the flow, it's not as easily received here as it is in other places. But that's okay, because this is where we are. This is where he has us. This is where he planted us. And so therefore, he's given us promises to enable us to navigate and to move and to, right, and to live. Because we are to live. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So when we're weary and we're tired of being tired and we're worn out and we're just, here's his promise. Go to Matthew 11 and read it in the Message. Come to me, get away with me, and you recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I was asking God this week. I went in, my cousin spoke Thursday night. And I was watching him speak, and I was listening to him speak, and I just, like, I was fighting back tears because he's so exuberant and full of life. And he's been in Atlanta for this year in a ministry school under Jeannie Mayo. And I have been asking God to renew that childlikeness in me. And I was watching him, and so I'm saying this prayer, and I'm watching him, and I'm listening to him, and I'm enjoying every minute of it, because he is like, it took me back to when I was like 20, and I really believed anything and everything was possible. And so I was like, then like the adult in me that had experienced all of these hard things was like, well, just give him, come back here and just give him 20 years, give him 10 years, 5 years tops. And you know what I mean? Like he won't be as full of life and fire. And then I was like, no, I rebuke that. Cover him. Protect that. I paid prices. Your generation has paid prices that I will never have to pay. And so I'm asking God that I've paid prices that Polly will never have to pay in this region. Right? Just because that's the way it's always been doesn't mean that's the way it's always going to be. Steve paid prices. Ruthie paid prices. Kathy, all of you that are older than me have paid prices, and I won't have to pay them. And I'm paying prices that I don't want those guys back there to have to pay. And they're going to pay prices that their children are not going to have to pay. Right? God, don't ever let what happened to me happen to Paul. Don't ever let that be squashed. Don't ever let it be put out. Don't ever. And God, every time someone wants to squash it or kill it or put it out, I ask that you intensify it, that it annoys them even more. Ha! That generation, the generations underneath me, that my ceiling would be their floor and that their ceiling would be someone else's floor. That they would go higher and run further and run faster. I want them to outrun me. I want to keep up as long as I can, but eventually I want them to outrun me. And so I'm on a, I want that restored. I want that childlikeness, not childishness, childlikeness, to be restored. I had dreams of stadiums full of people, stone stadiums, when I was first saved. And there were wheelchairs left at the altar. There were canes. There were all, and I was praying for these people, and they were being healed. I mean, just so many things like that. And then I remember being with Jules when Jules passed away and being able to be in the room and being able to be a part of that and how I kind of felt like, and I spoke about it one Sunday and how, well, you know, maybe the stadiums and all of that are just, you know, blah, 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 and this is what's really important. And here's what I feel like God is speaking to me in this season. You don't have to sacrifice the big dreams to live the little dreams. It's not one or the other. It's both. It's both. I can preach in the stadiums. I can pray for people in the stadiums to be healed. And then I can do life, too, with people. But see, somewhere along the line I had thought, and because it's easier to do the little thing than believe him for the big thing. Because I had been disappointed. I mean, I was so probably arrogant, really, that I wrote Joyce Meyer. Now, if any of you know Joyce Meyer, her and I, especially back then, like, God's good, because I wrote her and told her she needed to intern me. Who does that? Who writes Joyce Meyer and says, well, I need to intern, and you need to intern me? And, like, I used, you know, then I had big baggy jeans, and my jeans were dragging on the floor, and it was hilarious, because shortly after I did that, then I was listening to one of her messages, and she's like, and if you're in my office, your jeans aren't going to be dragging on the floor, and you're not going to be doing this. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's talking about me. And she messaged me back, or someone did, I doubt it was her, saying thank you. But, you know, not really feeling it. I'm just saying Joyce doesn't hear the Holy Spirit, but no, I'm just kidding. But, like, just things like that, like, just dreams. And so I'm asking him to restore that. Yeah, I think I'm going to speak on Joseph the next time I speak, because I think there's some stuff there. Anyway, so, all right, I want to leave you with Matthew 11, just the last little bit again. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It's something we learn. We learn it. We can learn the unforced rhythms of grace. We can learn how to flow freely. We can learn Daddy, I just thank you for your people. I thank you that we can come and get away with you and our life is recovered. It's not squelched, it's not put out, it's not stopped, but it's recovered. And I thank you for the unforced rhythms of grace. And Daddy, I thank you for the prices that the generations ahead of me have paid that I will never have to pay. And I thank you for the things, God, that my generation has been through, the prices that we have paid, so that the generations underneath us won't have to pay those. And I thank you that things are shifting. I thank you, God, that as the seasons change, things are shifting. I thank you that you are recovering. You're recovering dreams. You're recovering purpose. You're recovering destiny. You're recovering. You're just recovering us. Restore the childlikeness in each and every one of us that believes, that needs, that desires, that gets its total dependency from you. That we would rely on you for everything. In your name, Jesus, amen.